Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I am excited to get to have in studio someone I've had before and have been so blessed and inspired by. She has a brand new Bible study that is out. It's called God, What Do I Do? A Bible study on Judges 1 through 5 about making decisions in uncertain times. First off, Katie Reed, by the way, that's who I have. I didn't even say your name, I don't think. Judges. I was like, of all the books of the Bible that you're going to pick to do a Bible study, that is not the one that would just pop into my head, be like, you know what? I'm going to do a Bible study on Judges. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in 2018, right before my first book, Made Like Martha, came out, I was on a trip to the Holy Land. And as we were touring around, our guide kept talking about Deborah from the Bible, who I'd heard of her, but didn't know a lot about her. And I just couldn't shake it. And as I was on this trip, Crystal, you know, I love a to-do list. Firstborn girl, love to get things done. But God was like, I want you to receive and absorb, not package and produce when you're on this trip. And so I was trying to behave myself and do that. But we were on the Mount of Precipice, which is either the place or near the place or like the place where they, when Jesus preached in Nazareth, they were going to throw him off the cliff. And so here we are, and our guide starts talking about Deborah again. We're overlooking the Jezreel Valley, and dramatically, I just felt like God's like, your next book is about Deborah. Mm. And I was like, okay. So silly me thought that would be easy. And here we are 7 years later. And so that's really where it started, was learning about the context and seeing the land and wanting to learn more about this woman who had a position that other women hadn't had, that she had to navigate with wisdom with a people that were not very easy to lead and oversee. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of started the journey of, it was going to be a trade book at first. And then we started turning it into a Bible study, and it was just so rich and timely with the times that we're living in.
So I want to get into, there's so much in here, but before we even dive into this study, first page, it's like how to use this study. And you, second paragraph, first sentence, I spent decades living as a slave to God instead of delighting in being a daughter of God. We have to unpack that.
Yeah, that's the whole message of Made Like Martha, because I knew I was saved by grace. I became a Christian when I was 4, but then I lived like I had to keep God happy. I kind of had that ultra responsible mindset. And so I wanted to be the best wife and the best friend and the best mom. And I was miserable on the inside because I couldn't live up to a perfect standard. Of course, so it's like I knew the gospel in my head, but I wasn't really living it out. And so when he showed me that grace is a gift to be received, not a prize to be earned, that he was family to enjoy, not company to impress, it set me free, Crystal. The cobwebs in my mind were cleared. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I understand what it's like to be a daughter, because a daughter's different than a mom. I had kind of been this mother hen role all my life, whether anyone needed me to or not. But I think a lot of women, especially strong, capable women, have this deficit in daughtership to really, just like I talked about, receive and absorb, like from the Lord. And yes, he has good works for us to do, but it comes from a place of being loved, not trying to earn that, not trying to earn that place or earn what we already have that he's given us as a gift. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the shift for me of walking in freedom. It's like I am walking things out from a place, not trying to get something. Mm.
Do you feel like this foundational understanding changes the way that you approach decision making?
I think for sure it does. Because when you trust that your loving father is good and kind, even if he asks you to do really hard things, you can do that with him. It's not all up to you, right? It's up to him, but you can partner with him in making those decisions. And I used to view him, God, as like such a tyrant, like, don't you dare step out of line. right? That versus I have so much for you. Will you follow me? Mm. And it was a shift of even how I read scripture. So then when we read, I mean, Judges is a hard book. There's a lot of violence. There's things we don't understand. But when you see the premise of like, God loved them so much and wanted to set them apart for his glory and their good. And they keep making mistakes, but he does not give up on them. He keeps providing mercy for them and he keeps his part of the covenant. And so even when we are faithless, he is faithful and he is worthy and worth it, even though we go through hills and valleys and everything in between.
Mm. So Deborah, I know that many people are familiar with her story, but I know that there would be some people listening who aren't that familiar, maybe haven't read Judges before. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little overview of her story and what is it with her story that like you really personally connected with?
Yeah. So Deborah is one of the judges in Israel. And when I was doing research, it said that a lot of these judges could have even lived at the same time. They kind of like were over different regions, perhaps. And so the rest of them were men. And so, as you're reading the Old Testament, you're like, did I read this right? Because it was just a different time, you know, for women. But what we see is that she had to have had a relationship with, you know, God or a fear of him because she was carrying out his sacred assignments for her. And she goes to this military commander named Barak and she's like, hasn't God commanded you to go to battle? And so we see this partnership between them. And what I love about it, Crystal, is she wasn't steamrolling and she wasn't shrinking back. And I think we see examples all over the place. I'm sure we have done that too, where like we have left some dead bodies along the side of the road because we have just steamrolled our way through. But then also I see a lot of women like bearing their talents or bearing their spiritual gifts, or maybe there's young women that need their influence. And so I love this example of Deborah, how she seemed secure in who she was, but she wasn't afraid to say the hard thing and call someone, you know, out like, hey, didn't God say this? But we see this collaboration with them. She wasn't a one-woman show, but she also wasn't shrinking back and just, you know, she was who God had made her to be. And so that was inspiring to me of a woman that's in some leadership roles. Like, what does this look like? One of the biggest things, Crystal, as I was writing this book, you know, you have written books, you have to be baptized in your message, whether you want to be or not, because you want to be authentic. And God asked me to run for school board. Mm. And that is not something that was on my bucket list. That doesn't sound fun to me. It sounds like everyone's going to be mad at me. And as a recovering people pleaser, that sounded kind of scary. But I saw things in Deborah's life and leadership that helped me not shrink back, but also not steamroll in that role as well. So that was kind of my practical application of living out what I've studied. And I think as readers interact with this, they're going to find different things in their life of like, oh, that's going to help bring clarity to my decisions now too.
Mm. Okay. I have so many things I want to ask you, but first off, how do we find that balance between not shrinking back, but also not steamrolling? Because I feel like I can err on either side. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm real good. My personality type is like, here's where we're going to go. And so we're just going to go. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, I like trampled over a lot of people in the process. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, I don't want to be that kind of person. So then I'm going to hold back because I don't want to steamroll people because I know I've done it in the past. So how do we strike that balance?
I wish I had like the magic answer for that. I think a continual relationship with the Lord, you know, we learn as we go. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can hold myself to this unrealistic standard, like I can't make a mistake. Mm. And here's an example. My husband and I both went to the doctor. We go to the same doctor. Adam was in another room. I was in one room. And I'm literally telling the doctor, hey, he needs his cholesterol checked. And, you know, which I knew Adam wouldn't say. So I'm texting him. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I said this. He's like, you didn't. But like, to me, it was one of those moments of like, should I have done that? Shouldn't I? Was that my business? Was it not? I care for him. But in the past, I would have just like thought about that all the time, like apologized 15 times. And I think as we get older, we realize I have this tendency, my personality, and so I might get it wrong, but I'm still okay in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And yes, I might need to go apologize to people, but I think also when we know, when we have that relationship with the Lord, He guides our steps and we know a little better the things we should say yes and no mm-hmm. to, I think. Like, is this my lane? Is this totally outside of it? My husband was just helping me yesterday understand there's something I'm going to be done doing. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out, I want to finish well, mm-hmm. but I had this plan of what they could do to help it go better. And he goes, you know, Katie, I know your intent is to try to help, but it's not going to be your responsibility anymore. And Crystal, that was actually so freeing to mm-hmm. me of like, I don't actually have to figure out what's behind me. I've tried to be faithful with what I had, but it was a very new concept mm-hmm. in my mind because I've always kind of been that ultra responsible person for good or bad. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that helps to say, I don't know. I mean, a little bit, but I think more so of learning from the times we have done it well and we haven't done it well and moving forward versus being like, I need to arrive and have this all figured out. It's being patient with ourselves in the process and hopefully we're getting better at it over time. Like, I am sure that you are doing that less than you used to. Mm-hmm. And same with me. I know for me, when I actually shrink back, it seems to be worse sometimes because I'm just not being who I am. Mm-hmm. And sometimes then people can like, a really bad mistake could happen mm-hmm. because I just wasn't using my voice.
Mm. Well, and I know that I can justify like not to stepping into something that God's calling me to because it's actually fear, but I can say, well, I don't want to be steamrolling people. I don't want to be too, you know, and I just don't want to be too much for people when it's like, no, rely upon the Holy Spirit, lean on Him. You are going to make some mistakes, but if you stay with keeping your light hid under a bushel, literally, like that's what it would be of just like shrinking back and saying, I'm too scared to do this thing. It's disobedience.
Right.
And I know for me, yeah, that's what it is. Okay. You mentioned that you said God told me to run for school board. I want you to explain. So for a lot of people hearing that statement, they're like, okay, wait, did he like audibly say it out loud? Like, I don't know how people, I hear this, you know, if I'll say like, we just really felt God directing us to whatever. How do you know? Like, right. How did you know that that was something that God was calling you to do?
Yeah, I think it can be different for different people. My friend Lee and I, we do the Martha and Mary show together. And we've talked about this a lot because she said, you just seem to hear His voice often. And she's like, I've been walking the Lord faithfully, but that's just not how she feels like their relationship is. So I think there's nuances to it. It's an impression in your spirit. It could be a really pivotal conversation. I don't know if that's happened to you, Crystal, where someone's telling you something, you're like, oh my goodness, I really have to pay attention. Like something is happening right now. And so what happened with me is I think I even said to my husband, hey, I think you should run for school board because I didn't want to do it. And he looked at me and he said, Katie, you actually have your bachelor's in education and your master's. I actually think, and not that you have to have that to run mm-hmm. for school board, but he's like, it would make more sense for you to do it. And I'm like, oh, shoot, he's right. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to be sure because this, again, was not something that sounded like glamorous or fun or like, again, people are going to be mad at me. And so I did kind of put out a fleece with the Lord of saying, I really need to be sure. This is going to take a lot of time. And so I just kept conversations would come up or just, you know, reading scripture and feeling led in that direction. And honestly, Crystal, the final straw was at our church, we have testimony time. And you'll laugh. Sometimes testimony time, Adam, you know, he'll say it's short, good testimony should be short, sweet, to the point, and brags on Jesus. And sometimes some of the older crowd will use it to like give an announcement or a political statement that we're all like dying about. But this man stood up and said, sweet elderly man, we really need more Christians to run for school board. And that was the final. I looked at my husband and my sister-in-law, I'm like, oh shoot, now I am running for school board. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a lot of confirmations, but I think just that impression like in my spirit. And I think I also knew because it was nothing I would have thought up. Mm.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's like when it's the thing that it's really scary, you know, and you know that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to require you to lean on Jesus and it's going to require you to face fears and insecurities and things like that and have to really process that and work through that. I know for me, it's a lot of times it'll be where I'll feel this prompting in my heart, like God's calling me to something, and then making sure that, okay, my husband's on board with it, and making sure that, you know, just sitting with it for a little while, unless it's like God's prompting me to go say hi to that person or something like that. But yeah, something big, you know, I think of like foster care or adoption or something, you know, where it's like you felt very strongly, I think this is what God is calling us to, but I needed to make sure that the whole family was on board. And it wasn't just like me saying, hey, God's calling me to do this, so we're going to do this, when my husband's like, no, God's not calling me to that. Or you've probably had this where people will write in and tell me what, you know, the Holy Spirit has told them that I'm supposed to do or whatever. And I'm like, well, until the Holy Spirit tells me that that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm not going to go based upon what someone else is saying that I should be doing or something.
Yeah. So, and I think it doesn't always work this way, but more often, like, kind of wise counselors in my life or friends will more confirm what God is already speaking. Mm-hmm. And there are times where they might say something I haven't considered, but that seems to be kind of a way, you know, that happens. Mm-hmm. And you bring up a great point. Yes, there was definitely conversations with Adam of, what do you think about this? Because it was a big sacrifice for him too. Like every other Monday night for numerous hours, I'm going to be gone. And I think sometimes we forget that our yes is also a yes for a whole family in different ways. Mm. You know, it's going to look different. It also reminds me, Crystal, in this Bible study, God, What Did I Do? We talk about the ripple effect of obedience. And there's also a ripple effect to our disobedience. Mm. I mean, we see Middle Eastern conflict, and we can take that all the way back to Abraham and Sarah taking matters into their own hands, right? But the exciting thing is, as we step out and obey the Lord, even when it's scary, there are witnesses watching that. And I, you know, as both of us have moms to many, I hope that my kids are looking and seeing, okay, that was really scary for mom and dad, but I can be courageous in this decision because they stepped out and trusted him. And so it's never just about the decisions we're making. Mm-hmm. It impacts those around us for sure.
One of the quotes in your book that I underline, it says, remembering what God did in the past helps inform our present and future decisions. God is infinite and all-knowing. He does not forget his promises. And I think the more that we step out in faith and follow what he's calling us to do and see him be so faithful, that gives us more courage to continue to do that. And we were talking beforehand about your family is in the process of making some pretty big decisions, and that you have had to wrestle through that as you've been writing this. And isn't God good to have us have to live out the message that he's put on our heart? And I was thinking how this was 2018, right? That was whenever, you know, God put this in your heart, but you didn't go home and write it immediately. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Yeah. So we started actually pitching the idea. Mm-hmm. We got lots of no's, and I was like, what in the world? God made it so clear. I just thought this would happen. And actually, I ended up starting to write fiction because of it, because I knew my next nonfiction is going to be about Deborah, but I'm a writer. And so I wrote A Very Bavarian Christmas, and then very soon, A Very Bavarian Summer is coming out. And it was this detour that looked like a dead end to me. Mm. But there were just things like, I wasn't on the school board yet. You know, there was things in my life that hadn't happened that almost needed to be a part of this message. And as God does, now we are relocating across the country and really having to go back to the things I wrote of like, okay, wait, what has God done in the past? He's been so faithful. And we had relocated once to Arizona. And I remember my husband saying, Katie, remember how faithful God was when we did that. And it was just, I needed that. Even though I wrote the book that tells other people that, sometimes you need to hear your own words of just like, and then we look at scripture, often God provided on the way. And we see like in Judges 1, they start to possess the land he has promised them. And they're doing really well. They're obeying what he said. And then they see these iron chariots coming. and they stop short of full obedience. Mm. But Crystal, earlier on, God had told them what to do. He's like, you know, don't trust in horses, like put your trust in me. He had given them instruction and even ensured them of the victory. But what they saw with their natural eyes usurped what they could see with their spiritual eyes, mm-hmm. what God, the God of the universe had already said, hey, this is how it's going to turn out. Wouldn't we like, I mean, we do know the end of the story that he's coming back, but sometimes in our lives, we don't know mm-hmm. what the end of this difficult situation is going to be. And so we can have those iron chariots in our lives too, that we're like, that's what we're focusing on. And God's like, but it's about something else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about me. And my heart for this study is that people really grow in their relationship with the Lord, that they'll be all in. They'll move from the sidelines of their faith to the front lines. Mm-hmm. And that really is about stepping into the unknown and relying on Him moment by moment, day by day for wisdom. And we are definitely living in uncertainty.
Whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies, it covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. Silas used IXL in his math class a few years ago, and he really loved how he could work at his own pace, and he loved that he was able to see instant feedback on how he was doing. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. It will work for any of your kids because IXL uses smart technology to tailor support to each child's level, personality, and learning pace, which I love. It also saves time because one subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, whether they're pre-K up to 12th grade. And also, my favorite part, you save money because if your child is struggling, this is such a great investment. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off your IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Do you ever feel like it's hard to eat healthfully without feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun? Well, Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar. They're just fruit as nature intended. They're only 80 calories per cup, and I love that it's 6 grams of fiber per serving. That's 21% of your daily value. And fiber is something that I've really been trying to eat more of. Here's the best part. They're being harvested and frozen right now by family farms in Washington State. So when you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh off the field flavor all year long. I love to have frozen raspberries in smoothies. You can put them in muffins or also toss them in a bowl of yogurt with some granola for a really healthy, yummy, and nutrient-packed snack or breakfast. Want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Just go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. That's right. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that they build for you. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved getting trying to use Armoire, it has challenged me to try some new styles. And y'all, I have found some jeans that I have absolutely loved. In fact, I ended up buying them because I wore them so much that I was like, you know what? This is not a style I would have chosen for myself, but they picked out something that fit me so perfectly. And I just was like, I gotta have this in my closet. And I never would have known that. So I love that it challenges you to try some new things and you get to try it out risk-free because you don't have to buy it. You can send it back and trade it in for something else if you find that that doesn't work for you. So right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Times mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give people tools of like, when you don't know what to do, you can still remember what God has done and it fortifies your faith and it gives you the courage to take that next step.
And I think the fact that he put this on your heart in 2018, but then it's not coming out until 2025 should be an encouragement to so many people. If sometimes God calls you to something, but it's not for right then. Like you went home and you pitched the book, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like immediately, oh, here's your offer. Here you go. You know, and how, but you stayed faithful. And mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful picture of, you know, when we're in those places of like the title of the study, God, what do I do? You did the next right thing. Like you took the next step. And we were talking before we started recording, you know, how sometimes people feel like they want to know exactly, you know, where, if God's called me to this, then where is it going to lead? Like, what is it going to look like in 15 years from now or 25 years from now? Like, I need to know all those details before I'm going to take that first step. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of, you know, the Israelites, when they stepped into, wasn't it the priests had to like step into the water before the Red Sea parted? So that, am I getting my stories mixed up?
I think the Jordan River. Okay, yes.
Yes. I was like, sometimes I get the stories mixed up, but I was thinking of that picture of like, it wasn't like the waters parted and then they walked in dry ground. Like the priest had to go ahead and step into water and then it parted. And so how sometimes God calls us to do these things of, you know, it makes no sense. Like it makes no sense. You're like, I mean, I think if I was there and was like, go step into the water with the, you know, like what's going on here? Right. And yet we see the full picture. And so for people who are in a place of like, I feel like God's stirring something in my heart, but I don't know what to do with that. Like, what is a next step for them to take if they are scared because they have no idea where it's going to lead?
Yeah. I think sometimes telling a trusted person can help. Not necessarily, especially if you know you're supposed to do it, not necessarily to get them to, you know, tell you yes, but mm-hmm. to hold you accountable mm-hmm. to what can you do right now. And as our family is getting ready to relocate this Christmas, I was really down because I'm like, God, you told us to do this, but there's just like no way right now. And so one thing though, I felt like he told me I needed to do is we had some debt. So pay off the debt mm-hmm. and get rid of a fourth of your stuff is what I felt that impression. Cause it's like, I couldn't change, you know, a job situation or this, but I could start purging my home of things to prepare for a move. And so sometimes we can't do the thing we want to, but we can do small things toward that. I remember my friend had that impression God wanted them to move, but yet the circumstance hadn't changed. So she literally went home and packed one box and put it under her bed. And she was just like, God, I'm trying to obey, mm-hmm. but I feel like this is as far as I can do it right now, just because of what's going on. And I just love that. You know, it's like there can be small steps that lead to that step. Another thing is too, sometimes God's calling us to something, but we haven't finished or been faithful with something he has already said. Mm-hmm. And so one of the decisions is the decision to obey. And sometimes we're skirting around that because maybe it's a hard conversation we need to have. Maybe, you know, it's going to make us uncomfortable. There's other times where it actually could be really wonderful what he's asking you to do. But I think in our American culture, we're so individualized and honestly self-focused in a lot of ways. And so we can be like, well, you know, what will this mean for me? And we can talk ourselves out of that small steps of obedience. Mm.
For me, it's like stopping and asking, like, what is, like, why do I feel stuck? You know, like, what is holding me back? And a lot of times it'll be my own fear. And when I really can name it, like, and sometimes we will name surfacey things and to keep asking though, like, what's underneath that? What's underneath that? To really get to the root of what is this? Why don't I want to do this thing when in my heart I know it's what I'm supposed to do, but you know, I'm afraid of what somebody else is going to think. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of putting myself out there. I'm afraid of, you know, just stepping out in faith. But you were talking earlier about walking by faith. And before we started recording, we were saying, if we don't have things in our life where we desperately need Jesus, we're actually not really walking by faith, because mm-hmm. faith is the absence of having it all figured out. You know,
right.
It's not knowing all of the details. It's not being in control. It's literally releasing it to the Lord. And that might be, you know, I know for me, sometimes it's like a child is going through a really hard something or other. And I'm just desperately needing Jesus because I'm like, I can't fix this. Mm-hmm. Or it could be something in your marriage, or it could be in a friendship, or it could be, you know, financially, or it could be, you know, a big thing like, you feel like God's calling you to move, but there are a whole lot of pieces that need to happen before then. And you know, but it's just like, where in your life are you desperately needing to rely upon Jesus? And if you don't have those places in your life, I'd really step back and be like, am I shrinking back mm-hmm. because I want to live a safe life? But God didn't call us to safe, comfortable lives. You have a section in the study that is so good. It's called SOS prayers. And I would love for you to tell a little bit about your friend Erica and Erica's mentor and what he said.
Yes. My friend Erica Wiggenhorn is a Bible teacher, and she had a mentor. He had been a pastor for years and he was getting to the end of his life. And she said to him, what is the best ministry advice you can give me? And he said, more prayer, more power. Little prayer, little power. Mm-hmm. And she told the story at a conference, and it really stuck with me because, Crystal, I love to say the Bible, but prayer has been a struggle for me for some reason. Mm-hmm. And so we started a, you know, mom's prayer group and different things, and I have grown in that. But I have a friend who said to me, you know, Katie, I don't often pray out loud because my prayers aren't eloquent. And I said, well, this is really good news because SOS prayers totally count. God, help me. God, I need you. That dependence, especially if you're a busy mom or in a busy season, you have a demanding job, like you might not be able to sit down for 3 hours and pore over the Bible, but you can think on one verse. You can say, God, I don't know what to do about this situation. And that is all a part of a relationship with Him. And of course, we want that extended time with Him. The other thing I love to do is read scripture and turn it into a prayer. I guess it's a little bit of multitasking for me, but it's like, if you don't know the words to say, but you have that desperation, like borrow words from the Bible. Like you can't get it wrong. I also love Power of Praying Wife, Power of Praying Mom, Power of Praying Woman, because there's like scripts in there. And sometimes if you're grieving or you're just overwhelmed, you just need someone else to tell you what to say. And I think sometimes we just feel like that's less than, but God does not care about that. He just wants to hear from us, for us to hear from Him and to grow in that relationship and dependence.
And I really feel like it's about the posture of our heart. It's not about the words that come out of our mouth. And that's what prayer is, changing us, of us really acknowledging our reliance upon Him. So if we literally are just like, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. It's the same thing of, you know, us just saying, God, I need you. I need to rely upon you. And we could have this super eloquent prayer, but it's really the same heart behind it of just, you know, the simple prayers. And I think just as we go about our life, just crying out to Him, asking Him, you know, in the day to day, whether it's that you're worn out, or you need to make a decision, or you need to have a hard conversation, or you lost your keys, whatever it is, just inviting him in and asking him to help you with that. And I think it's a really powerful example for our kids too, of, you know, like when something is lost, for us to just stop and be like, Jesus, help me be able to find this. And then when you find it, and then you're able to, you know, my little kids are like, Jesus answered our prayers. And I love that. The childlike faith mm-hmm. in our little kids can be so beautiful and so powerful for me to witness. It was just the other day, our neighbor Kirsten, who she's 5, has been getting to know, she got to come out of her backyard. They usually just talk through the fence. And her mom said that she could come out of her yard and come into our yard. And Kirsten, she said, it was an answer to prayer. I have been praying that she could come to our house, and God answered my prayers. And I just thought, you know, it made me so grateful that, you know, I, without really even realizing it, she's seen me just inviting God in the daily things, so that she would think to pray that the neighbor could come over, and then that the neighbor came over, you know. And I don't think she understands all the concept of everything, right, but she's little bit by little bit getting it. One of the things that I loved that you said, much can be accomplished through prayer. Whenever I had gaps and lack, he could make a way, even in areas where I had been faithless. He was and is faithful. I could try and muscle through on my limited strength, or I could turn to the limitless one who answers prayers, parts seas, multiplies loaves and fishes, and still does miracles today. And so often I'll talk to people who feel like, you know, they're not really seeing God move in their life. And then I'll ask, well, what are you praying for? Well, I'm not really praying, you know? And I'm like, if you want to see the power of God in your life, the best way to do that is to start by inviting him in and, you know, taking that time to pray when you feel exhausted, when you need his help, when you are really struggling, when you have to have that hard conversation, just in the day-to-day, inviting him in and then getting to see, you're eagerly anticipating how he is going to show up on your behalf. And I know you have seen that in your life.
Absolutely. And the thing is too, whether we have much or little, we are totally dependent on him for our very next breath. You know, we are breathing right now, and that is a gift from the Lord. And like you talked about, an awareness. I remember being in my bathroom getting ready one day, and I was so overwhelmed. And I just said, God, I just can't do this anymore. And he said, okay, good. Now we can get somewhere, because I was just trying to muster through, and I was just burning out. Like, God, you can count on me. And I love what our friend Jennifer Dukes Lee says. She used to give God, let him have an inch and she'd take the mile. And he said to her, you know, revealed to her, like, how about you let me take the mile and you give an inch? Now, she's a very hard working woman, as we are as well. But it just was that flip in, you know, our minds that we need of like, God is infinite. Like, there's nothing he can't do. He is unlimited. And we are dependent on him, even if he has wired us with high capacity. Like, we cannot breathe without his help and the way he's created our bodies. And we can forget that on the day to day.
Or I think for me, it's also like being, I think we're similar in like wired of like high capacity doers. And so then I'll feel like I'm not bringing enough to God, you know, like, and I'll feel this, like, all I have today are crumbs. And, you know, instead of offering it up to him, I'll just feel like a failure. Like, I need to be doing more. And instead of just being like, God, this is literally all I have today, and you're going to have to multiply it, and I'm just going to trust you to multiply it. And sometimes it's like, even when I don't have the faith to say that, asking somebody else to pray with me. Like, I'll ask my husband, I'll just be like, I am really exhausted. Today feels overwhelming, and I need God's help. I can't do this. Can you just pray for me? And there's just something really powerful of me acknowledging that and then inviting someone in as a woman who, you know, is like a doer to just be like, I can't do this in my own strength, and I need Jesus. And I feel like, you know, this whole study, I love how you're just pointing people to the Lord, really just pointing people to the Lord and pointing people to get in the Word. Because I feel like, you know, prayer is so powerful, but also if we want to have a relationship with the Lord, like getting into his Word and understanding what he says and seeking him through his Word, it changes us.
Absolutely. I had to laugh. My friend Lee, in this introductory lesson, I have you write out the names of the enemies of God's people, you know, as they're entering the promised land. She goes, Katie, who has people list out, you know, the Hittites and the Jebusites? But as she and I were talking, we realized, oh my goodness, there's power in naming the things that are enemy. There's power in naming the things that are enemies to your intimacy with God. Mm. And then I started thinking, okay, what are those things in my life that I'm fixing my eyes on? Those iron chariots are actually keeping me, you know, and God is always there. We're the ones, right, that drift or are distracted, but he's just waiting and willing to be so strong for us. And so even in like a little exercise like that, it's like God can meet you right there and help set you free in an area, or you could have just like rushed through, you know, through it. Like I like to go through Bible studies slow. So even though this is like 6-session Bible study, sometimes when I'm doing a Bible study, it'll take me like 6 months mm-hmm. because I don't want to just rush through it. I want it to get in and change, mm-hmm. you know? So even that, you know, much prayer, much power, that phrase, like I just think about that sometimes of like, okay, there's the answer right there. Like, am I asking God for wisdom or am I just relying on my own strength? I used to be better at tucking my kids in bed. I mean, some were getting old and they would not like that anymore, but I used to linger. Now I'm like, please just go to bed. But I would try to tell them a scripture, like different scriptures. And one of them I love is Proverbs 3. And we always say 5-6, right? We hear that. But I love 5-8 because it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. It will be health to your body and healing to your bones. And I can be try to be wise in my own eyes so many times, Crystal, even though I'm not consciously thinking that. But God is showing us, I have health for you and healing for you in doing things my way. And so how many times are you going to, you know, circle that mountain and keep trying things on your own strength when I have a different way? Doesn't mean it's going to be an easy way, but it's going to be a better way.
As you were saying those verses, I was just thinking about how all of the negative impacts on our physical bodies of anxiety and worry, and how like it's right there in Proverbs. Like if we actually fully rely upon the Lord, it's going to affect our physical health mm-hmm. because we're not stuck in that anxiety, that worry loop of just, you know, trying to rely upon our own strength. And I know for me, when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel like very stretched, when I feel like there's just too much, usually if I stop and really ask, where is this coming from? I'll realize I am slipping into just relying upon myself and thinking it's all up to me. And so that's why I feel so much stress. For me, stress is a red flag that I'm not resting in the Lord because I'm trying to just white knuckle my way through. And so I just appreciate so much how you keep pointing us back to Jesus. And I would just encourage anyone who is a doer and you want to follow the directions. This says a 6-session Bible study and it's broken up. If you only get through one page a day, that is totally okay because I feel like there's so much here that I've had seasons where I've just had to give myself that permission. You know what? It says like lesson one. Okay. Lesson one is going to take me 2 weeks. That is okay. You know, just open up the book and really read what God has for you in the amount of time that you have. Do that. And you might get so much more out of it than if you feel like, well, I got to get through all of the lesson today because it says lesson one, you know?
Yeah.
But I just appreciate how you're really challenging people. And then you also bring in from your trip and pictures and graphs to really help you to understand more. I think that really brings it alive of what it was like and geographically and all of that. So we can get it in our mind. Somebody like me, who is a visual person. As we close up our interview, I was just thinking, I'd love for you to speak to what were some of just a few of the key things that you have taken away from Deborah's life as you did this study that you feel like they're going to impact you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I think one of the things is she wasn't afraid to walk into this calling that there was no one ahead of her as a woman who had done this job. And so it was such a reliance. And I just want that kind of reliance on the Lord for myself. And then also just that collaborative spirit I see in her. It's like she knew who God was, who she was in him, but she wasn't isolated in her calling. She linked up, you know, with Barak. And then we see the whole story of JL. You'll have to get the study. I don't want to give it away, but it blew my mind what God showed me, how the gospel is right there in Judges 4 and 5. But in a world, again, where we can be very individualized and independent, it's like we miss out when we isolate from community. Now, it can be, quote unquote, easier sometimes to do that, but there's a greater strength when we link arms with each other, when we double our strength versus divide it. We can have such a greater impact. And I just see that more and more. I think younger people are a little better at it sometimes than we are, of rallying together to do what God is asking them to do. So I think those are the biggest things, like her kind of godly confidence and that collaboration with others. Mm.
I love that. And I think, yes, we live in a culture where it's so easy to do it ourselves. You know, it's like, I'm just going to, but that reliance upon others as well as reliance upon the Lord and being in that place of, I need God and I need people. And that really is going to change our lives, you know, mm-hmm. to walk closely with people, walk closely with the Lord. And so anyone who is feeling like you're struggling with decision making, you're curious about Deborah or some of the different things that you have kind of dropped in throughout this interview, they're like, I haven't read that in the Bible before. I'm not familiar with that. Or you just feel like we're living in uncertain times and you want some wisdom from the Lord. I encourage you to get a copy of Katie Reed's study, God, What Do I Do? A Bible study on Judges 1-5 about making wise decisions in uncertain times.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.